reading from the Sri Narada Bhakti Sutras. Text 39. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Mahat Sangastu Dulabho Gamyo Bhoghascha. The association of great souls is rarely attained. Difficult to understand and infallible. Just looking up something, one second. Purport. In his instructions to Srila Rupa Goswami, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila 19, 138-48, Lord Chaitanya graphically describes the rarity of gaining the association of a pure devotee. The Lord tells Rupa Goswami that there are unlimited living entities among 8,400,000 species, and all these living entities are wandering from body to body, planet to planet within this universe. The few living entities in human bodies may be divided into the uncultured and the cultured, those who are ignorant of the Vedic principles and those who know them. Among those who know the Vedic principles, roughly half simply give lip service to these principles while committing all kinds of sins in violation of these principles. Out of those who actually follow the Vedic principles, most seek material rewards like wealth, good birth, or elevation to heaven. Out of many millions of such, out of those who actually follow the Vedic principles, most seek material rewards like wealth, good birth, or elevation to the heavenly, to heaven. Among millions of pious followers of the Vedic injunctions, one may be actually wise, a jnani. Out of many millions of such jnanis, Lord Chaitanya says one may actually become liberated from birth and death. And out of many millions of such liberated persons, a devotee of the Lord is very difficult to find. Lord Krishna makes the same point. Manushyanam sahasreshu kaschid yatati siddhaye. Yatatam api siddhanam kaschid mam veti tatvata. Out of many thousands of men, one may endeavor for perfection, and of those who achieve perfection, hardly one knows me in truth. Bhagavad Gita 7.3. This indicates that even one who has attained Brahman realization falls far short of knowledge of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We should not be misled, therefore, about who is a great soul, or think that any Swami or Guru will be able to deliver us from material entanglement. As Srimad Bhagavatam says, 6.14.5, Muktanam api siddhanam narayana parayana sadulabha prashantatma kotishapi mahamuni. Out of great sage, out of many millions of materially liberated people who are free from ignorance, out of many millions of siddhas who have nearly attained perfection, there is hardly one pure devotee of Narayana. Only such a devotee is actually completely satisfied and peaceful. Om Jnana Timurandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chaksurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Namo Mahabhadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gora Shishe Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So greetings from Sridham, Mayapur. Just so many nice Vaishnavas. It's just a pleasure being in their association. And the class is going well every day. I mean, 50, 60, 70 people, sometimes maybe even a little bit more. We're doing Brahma-Vimohan-Lila. And the Puriyatra, you know, it has a way of, has a life of its own. It looks like it's going to be pretty exciting. We have nice kirtaniers, Kinshita Krishna, Nityananda, Ajamil. And then I also heard that Kishore from the Mayapuris is going to be there, and Dr. Fakir Mohan will come for one day and give morning and evening class. So I'm really looking forward to that. So we're discussing the Narada Bhakti Sutras. And we discussed what Bhakti is. It's love for God. And although it's emotional, the devotee is detached from. So it's really distinct from any type of worldly conception. And different definitions of bhakti were discussed. And Narada finally concluded it's just dedicating everything to God and being in deep separation. When there is some forgetfulness or one has some obstacle to do that, but actually there's no obstacle to dedicating oneself to God, because serving God has nothing to do with our destiny. It's completely within the jurisdiction of our free will. And there's no material impediment. There's no material qualification. And then we discussed how bhakti is superior to karma and jnana, because bhakti is the goal. That experience of the absolute truth is the goal. And and because bhakti means selflessness and service, it's very attractive to God, because no one is attracted to egoism, false egoism or pride. And then we just kind of finished a section on how to attain bhakti and the important practices to achieve bhakti, especially associating with truth, with the objects of truth and the acts of truth. The acts of truth are devotion, because that is, in fact, what we are. arch servants of Krishna. So to act as a servant of Krishna and to contact objects that are manifestations of service to Krishna, like the holy name, like the holy Dham, that's all they are, is service to Krishna, is the way we advance. But ultimately, excuse me one second. But ultimately, the most important thing is the primarily, it comes through the mercy of a great soul, because all paths need blessings, and it's only devotion that invokes blessings. So, harim bina naiva shtatim taranti. Without the blessings of Hari, which comes through the great souls, one cannot achieve perfection. And without being in that mood that one needs blessings, one cannot achieve perfection, because perfection is a condition of the heart that's free from egoism. So if you develop the conception that by my effort alone, which is a false conception, by my effort alone, I can achieve perfection. Of course, mercy can be attracted, and our effort, which is an expression of our sincerity, is important in attracting the mercy of the Lord. For if we cannot attract the mercy of the Lord, and we want to become perfect, then what's the use of any effort, actually? It may come. The Prabhupada said that's like the getting the honorary degree. It may come, but it may come, it may not come. So there has to be some connection. Yes, our effort, just like Mother Yasoda's effort, she couldn't bind Krishna, but because she made the effort to bind Krishna, then that expression of her desire to serve Krishna invoked the mercy of Krishna to allow himself to be bound. So, primarily, it's the mercy of the great soul, and we have to do everything we can to serve them and melt their hearts, so what is in their hearts flows out of their hearts for us to see and become inspired by what true love is, and to also experience and feel that. If there's one practice we should have, it's the internal desire, the association and mercy of the great souls. That which we appreciate belongs to us. So we begin with appreciation, a certain type of faith, a faith in that mercy. That's our attitude. We trust God and we trust He's merciful, and therefore we throw ourselves at the lotus feet of God. We throw ourselves at the lotus feet of the devotees. And we beg for their mercy. And therefore, that bhava, that devotion, which even controls God, which God is so reluctant to give us, unless he trusts our sentiments and attitudes of sir. Everything is there within that service attitude. That's what Vrindavan means. Vrindavan means a place which is conducive to service of Krishna. And if that is your objective, it is a very good place. But if that's not your objective, it's a very difficult place, because one man's food is another man's poison. So you like the environment if the environment is in tune with your conceptions and attitudes and moods. So as devotees, we love the holy dot. Other people may not appreciate them. And it's so obvious when you're in these places what that energy is. I explained that before. I'm just every day, I stay in a very beautiful place, simple place, beautiful, kind of a country type place in one sense. A 5-minute walk to the temple through a beautiful path. And another path goes 5 minutes, I'm in the Grihastha quarters where I'm very so nicely hosted by Yugala Priti and her husband Jagadish. But walking there and just seeing devotion manifest in the movements and countenance of the devotees, it's such an inspiring thing. Especially the children. There are so many absolutely Krishna-conscious children. Startlingly Krishna-conscious and controlled. And it's just, they're just so satisfied in devotion. Of course, the environment is so conducive and the training is very good. But they're so satisfied in devotion that they're overtly peaceful. When I take prasadam at Yugala Priti's, she has a little daughter, Lolly, 3.5. And you know, she's a very nice young child, very strong-minded child. But I'm sitting at the living room in the table taking prasadam or doing my deity worship. I go there in the morning, and her grandmother takes care of her when her mother is cooking. And you hear the child chanting with the grandmother in such fun, the Brahma Samhita, or you know, just hearing her singing kirtans. Because it's actually a very natural process if you're in the right environment. You're so impressionable. And you're impressionable to the things that actually make you happy. How fortunate is that? We are impressionable and desire the things that don't make us happy. What actually makes us happy is the activities of the soul, which fill the soul with love and devotion. But that comes from someone who has it, primarily. And even the practices we do and the understandings we have come from the inspiration of a person who is experienced or realized in what we are trying to achieve. So primarily through the great souls, because they can melt Krishna's heart. So by serving them, we can melt Krishna's heart. Not by any other endeavor. Now, in this verse, it describes that they're rarely attained. Because this world is for something else. This world is for illusion. This world is for being separate from God. That's why we're here. So it's so difficult to get out of those conceptions and what to speak of the environment that's reinforcing those conceptions. So it's no wonder that the only way that we can actually achieve perfection is declaring and expressing our helplessness and begging for some mercy to lift us up. Therefore, in the purport here, we're reading how difficult, because how rare it is. Even the human form of life is so rare. We have to realize this point to actually appreciate what we have and use it in the proper way. We have a human form of life. That itself is rare. And it should also make us humble, because it should shine a spotlight on our lack of qualifications and even our faults. Human form of life is very, very rare. There's so many billions and billions of living entities. We are in the abject minority. And then of human beings, even people who are somewhat civilized or cultured, how many people are just so buried in the anger and intense desires of passion and ignorance? How many people have any sense of Atma God? It's really mercy. It's really mercy to understand something about the soul. I'm giving class yesterday, and we're discussing Brahma Vimohan Lila and how even Lord Brahma is becoming bewildered about what is God, because God means Yajna Bhuk. Yajna Bhuk means his eating is so unique that he's eating all the offerings offered in yajna. It's an exclusive position. No one eats like that. But he's also Bala Keli. He's also sharing his food and eating off the plates of his friends. So nice, 60 people in the class. How did you come to this conception that Krishna is God? Accept it. How did you come to that conception? Did you really feel you worked and worked and worked and worked? You can't even understand logically how you came to that conception. That conception was put into your heart by the mercy of devotees. and you got an experience of it that gave you faith, how fortunate are we? And how humble should we be that we got something so far beyond our qualification? And of all those devotees, even those who attain perfection, have atmagyan, they may not have a conception of God. What all those have conception of God? How many have the intimate conception of God and His full manifestation of love, which is Krishna? Krishna. So this association of people who have achieved a pinnacle of realization, how rare is that? We should seek, we should appreciate, seek, and serve the great souls. Because we need to achieve a lot more than we can do by our own effort. And it also says, they're inaccessible. And that also means that because we judge everything through our own frame of reference, we don't always see truth as truth. We don't always recognize the purity and devotion of great souls. Often it's when they leave that we glorify them. Because the nature of our, we see the world according to our desires and our standards according to our desires. And even a great soul is working through the context of a particular body and culture in which they're born, which we may or may not appreciate. It's sometimes difficult to understand. What to speak of the factor of envy in our consciousness, what to speak of the factor of independence in our consciousness. That's why the Bhagavatam doesn't have the effect it should. The effect is you associate with Krishna, and Krishna's in your heart. You don't give up Krishna. Because we're independent. We don't want to surrender, and therefore we don't want to hear the message. When you don't want to hear the message, you don't hear the message. My mother used to call me Mother Death. You don't want to hear what they have to say, because they're going to tell you, take out the garbage, clean your room. So Krishna's telling you, surrender unto me, think of me, do it always. And we have other agendas. So they're not always that accessible or understandable. So it's very, very rare to find such a soul. We sometimes take it for granted. Even it's just rare to be a devotee. You know, I was in the temple the other day, and there's one humble, pure devotee. I was just thinking how rare a true renunciate is. and how peaceful and satisfied they are in heart. People stare filled with love for God, which reflects on everything. And they're humble. So they're in a state of constant joy and satisfaction because they've surrendered to Krishna fully. So it's nice, you know. I went to the temple and I saw this one brahmachari that must have been here, I don't know, 25, 30, 40 years. I don't know. I don't think he's a Prabhupada disciple, but that's not, you know, not the qualification for being a pure devotee. Certainly nice to have that kind of link. So, you know, I hugged him in front of the deities, and he, you know, he said he was trying to go down and pay obeisances. And I'm not sure if everyone knows. And he's certainly not accessible in the sense that he's taken a humble position. So how do you serve such a person? But we really deeply embraced. I remember him from the Padayatra 25 years ago and how blissful he was. And he's famous during the floods. You know, the floods, when they came, you know, they got so high, they covered the Sringadeva. They went up to the altar, to the waist of Lord Chaitanya. I don't know. If you wanted to go to Mangalarti, you had to swim to the temple. And Mangalarti was the water up to your waist. And you know, the water fills up all the holes of the snakes, so the snakes are swimming around in the water. And he was famous in the floods for cooking for all the devotees with the water up to his waist. But do you recognize him? Will you see him? And different devotees have different types of psychology. Described in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, that sometimes they're like volcanoes in the ocean. There's so much going on, but it's not visible. And to appreciate that, you have to be humble and appreciate that. So they're not always accessible. And they're infallible. What they have is real. And it works. Fire is infallible. You put your hand in it, you get burned. So it works. There's an effect from that. It's an effect. Of course, it's our responsibility to discipline our minds so that we're in a state of humility and receptivity to their power. So this association also is gained by the Lord's mercy. Yasya pasada bhagavat pasado yasya pasada nagati katopi. By the mercy of Krishna, you get that association. You get the mercy of Krishna. For the Lord's mercy. Only by mercy. Let me just check that next verse. It says, associating with great souls can be obtained, but only by the Lord's mercy. This is a purport from the Dhruva Maharaj in the Bhagavatam. The Supreme Personality of God, it is present in everyone's heart, and as soon as he understands that the living entity is serious about entering devotional service, he sends his representative. In this way, Narada was sent to Dhruva Maharaj. So it begins in our heart. It begins in our heart, a type of cultivation of humility. A type of cultivation of dependence, a type of cultivation of desire. Without that, the effort will not work. Ravana did so much sadhana, but he wasn't making his heart receptive to God's grace, nor did he want God's grace. So we qualify to be recognized, but ultimately it's grace. Prabhupada gave a great example of a farmer. The farmer works the land. He weeds the land. He weeds the land. He makes the soil fertile, but still rain is necessary. But if you don't cultivate it, then despite the rain, you won't get the benefit of the water. But that association of the great souls, you cultivate that desire in your heart, and Krishna in the heart, as the Chaitanya Guru, appears externally. That's the process, too, of finding a guru. It's cultivating the desire in your heart. And then being able to recognize the mercy of Krishna when it manifests. And then it says that the Lord and his devotees are inseparable, because you can attain bhakti either by the association of the Lord's devotees or directly by Krishna's mercy. They're the same principle. Chaitanya Guru, Lord in the heart, the devotee, the external manifestation of the super soul. And what comes through that teacher is the tattva, the Shakti of Krishna, of Balaram, in the form of the attraction and desire to please and serve Krishna. So it comes through a devotee, or Krishna can send that directly himself. But if you neglect the devotee, it may be making a statement about your own desire to surrender to Krishna. But Guru Tattva, the mercy, it manifests either way. And therefore, the conclusion is, strive only for this. Strive only for this. Because if you're entering into a spiritual path, you need blessings. And you need to serve Krishna, and you need to please Krishna, and you need instructions, and you need teachings. and you need kripa, and you need mercy. So this is the conclusion, that this must be in the core of our hearts, an intense humility to really want to enter Krishna's world and serve Krishna. Just take a room, right? And let's say there's two people. So one person makes the room his. It means everything in the room is to please that person. Now, you enter into the room. You will only be happy in that room if you love that person, because then you'll be happy with the arrangement that it is to please that person, and you will support and serve that arrangement. So devotion means coming into God's world, where everything is organized for the pleasure of God and the pleasure of everyone, and that we are satisfied to live in that world, which means we are servants, rather than fighting to try to make it our world. So that's bhakti. And it begins with entering the world of Krishna through the wishes of his devotees. That's what it means to be linked with Guru, linked with Prabhupada. And you see that consciousness in very, very advanced people, and very, very humble people. I know recently I went to Moscow. I have a disciple there named Ananda Govardhan. She's a very nice person, very deeply cultured person. And so she wanted a place for me to speak, and it wound up as a health spa with a such sun call. So the culture is that it was offered to me, because that's what the mood is. And that's the mood. Even a cultured person, when a guest comes, they don't make the guest feel that they're living in their world. They make the guests feel that this is their world. That's culture. That's culture. It has to be cultivated. That's spiritual consciousness. That's the consciousness where love flows in the heart. And there's a culture of that consciousness. That's why Srila Bhakti Siddhanta warned about thinking oneself as guru. Because if you think of oneself as guru, then you will look at things as your world. And it will foster within you a material consciousness and attachment. But one has to be exclusively in the mood that I am in guru's world and this is guru's. And actually it is. Because then there's no attachment personally. And then a person who enters into your presence is entering into Krishna's world, because that's Krishna's conception. So there's a deep inner core consciousness of prayer and humility and service and legitimately wanting the association of a great soul to give our life to. Krishna consciousness, that means Prabhupada. Pure. His world is for Krishna. And those who represent him live in his world. So their world becomes for Krishna. And if you surrender to those people, then your world becomes for Krishna. And then it's a world of service and love. So So strive only for this. Strive only for this. Okay, I'm going to end because I also going to. Would anyone like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj, this is Rajarade Devi.
Thank you. Otherwise, I think no one was there.
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj.
Thank you. Anybody else like to say hello quickly?
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj. Thank you for class.
Okay. We got these like score steady regulars. It's great. Anybody else?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, this is Gail.
Hi, Bob Gail. Thank you. Okay. Anyway, I'm not going to extend this anymore because I'm really attached to going to the temple, seeing the deity, Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai, Panchakalpa Devi Sankirtan.